I rather like this from Woody in Perth. Sorry, Jared, I've watched Get Smart for years. Control always beats chaos, and Ronnie's of the same wavelength. Maxwell Smart will not be pleased that chaos beats control as Geno signs off. Our series of interviews for Australian Made, it's important to buy Australian right now. Kieran Maher's the most successful trainer in Australia at the moment. He's got a one-win lead over Chris Waller. He's got a vastly superior strike rate, and in partnership with David Eustace, he is Victoria's champion trainer. The evolution of racehorse training in Australia and what the business looks like now, high performance, a board structure around it, the ambitions to grow as well as succeed on the track, it ain't what it used to be. Kieran Maher to tell me that story now. Kieran, welcome to SEM.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
How busy are Thursday mornings at this pinnacle time of year?
Yeah, it's pretty busy. The time of the year doesn't actually change in terms of busyness. Just the intensity level probably rises this time of year with the good races around and racing's to the fore in all the media.
How does that manifest? Do you feel a little bit of, what is it, pressure, heightened excitement?
Yeah, definitely exciting, most exciting part of the year. You know, there's a fair bit more work this time of year in terms of media and interviews and stuff like that. But and add a bit of COVID in this year, that's made things a little bit tougher as well. But yeah, you know, we've got really good system people in place that you know, it's sort of the routine sort of every week. My week sort of, I get round to, usually in normal times, I get round to all the locations, but you know, with the COVID, I haven't been able to do that, but everyone's adapting their business accordingly.
So what sort of restrictions do you face? So are you staying in Metro Melbourne?
Yeah, there's a lot of tiered sites in Ballarat, and I move between the two stables. You know, you can potentially one get shut down and you can shut the other one down. So it's quite an impost, say, somewhere like Caulfield. We were starting at like 3 a.m. to finish at 5. So we weren't crossing with other trainers' horses, which was a bit sort of torturous on the staff. But thankfully, I've been able to keep working through it. But yeah, so I have been fairly restricted, especially the last month before that. You know, I was free to go sort of to any location around Victoria anyway.
Gosh, Kieran, as if the hours aren't rough enough, that's brutal.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal, actually. Luckily, it was only for 5 days or something like that. But yeah, there was something nice about the barn being swept up and everyone done at about 7, but they were looking a bit worse for wear all the same.
Rather than talk about runners necessarily, I thought we'd get a picture of your business and really the modern evolution of horse racing that you're forging in this state. Are there days where you feel as much a CEO as you do a horse trainer?
No, I've like employed a board and a CEO, Andrew Wolf, you know, to take care of, you know, all that side of it. And I'm just mainly doing what I do best, is, you know, assessing horses daily, making plans, you know, training is planning really. And so, yeah, we have quite a few managers, foremen, assistants, that we have regular meetings with, daily meetings with, and, you know, the board will meet, you know, sort of every 3 months and discuss general, you know, the general goings of the business, you know, financial reviews, forecasting, all that sort of stuff. And, yeah, but mainly I sort of stay true to what, you know, I'm good at, or what the people that you put in place are good at, and yeah, let the other rest of the team take care of the sort of admin side of it.
It's a quantum leap from what the idea of a trainer would have been
a generation ago. When did you recognise, what was sort of the driver to put a modern business construct around a stable?
I've had a good friend of mine who's a successful businessman himself, Jonathan Crisp. He sent me horses when I first started in Warrnambool. And it's just been a bit of a mentor and, you know, about that structured side of it. And sort of as I've always been fairly aggressive business-wise, and, you know, taking opportunities sort of when they've arisen. It's sort of a, you know, we're expanding sort of just nicely, I suppose, fairly rapidly. But, you know, we took over Rick or Lacey's stable, sort of doubled there. And then when Peter Moody retired for a little bit, we took over his stable, sort of doubled again. And we sort of moved into Sydney. That was, you know, I needed a base up there. So it just makes the stable work and systems. You can sort of go all up the Eastern Seaboard comfortably in your own system. And then the Forest Lodge stable come about, Darren Weirs. So I never thought I was going to expand that rapidly, but... Yeah, I couldn't pass up the opportunities of those places when they arose.
It's a long way from six boxes with your dad, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Yeah, I remember when I first started training, I sort of travelled and, you know, the twilight of my jockey career, I just used it to work for all the trainers I wanted to, with a view to see how they trained and the different ways they trained. And I said to the old man, can I put some boxes up on the farm at Winslow? And he was tickled pink. And it is a long way from there, though.
So internationally, Kieran, and you've had experiences with Wesley Ward and Joseph O'Brien and the like, so you've seen around the world. Is this inspired by what's happening elsewhere? Are you bringing it to Australia? What have you seen elsewhere that you've liked?
Yeah, I've always... when I first started training, you know, no one sends you a horse, so you buy cheap horses and work out who you're buying them off and the way they trained and, you know, change it up and work out how you can do it different and better. And, you know, all the experiences that I've had all around the world, you know, even still now, you know, you take bits and pieces from everywhere, you know, you never stop learning. And I just try and I've always sort of had a slightly different approach to many, I suppose. You know, I started off on the beach and came to Melbourne for the business, really, and then, you know, sort of moving the training sort of back out into those areas that I think the horses suit better. So, you never stop learning, I suppose. You're always evolving and doing things better and different. You know, recently we record a hell of a lot of data now, and we've got two girls that you know, are in our sports science division, and that's basically what they do, is, you know, programs and have a look at the data of each and every horse and how they react to different works and what we think they need. So it's very individualized now, and I suppose it has changed a lot from when I first started riding.
So this replicates what happens at professional sporting clubs around the country and around the world. How interested in that technological growth, eh?
Oh, very interested, yeah. I've always... Every sport in the world's improved with sports science, be it car racing, any animal sports, show jumping, racing. Racing probably seems to be a little bit... behind, I suppose, in that area. I suppose generally a horse trainer has an older demographic, I suppose, but I think more and more, well, you know, as I said, every sport's improved. It just makes you have you still use your eye and everything, but, you know, if you've got a wealth of data behind it, you're going to make better informed decisions.
One of the features in your training, Kieran, is the breadth of it, from the jumpers at Warrnambool to flashy two-year-olds in the big races and sprinters to stayers. Is that deliberate? Is that something that you love, every aspect of it, rather than specialising potentially in one area?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's funny, when you start training, you sort of get pigeonholed, I suppose. As I said, you know, no one sends you $500,000 yearling to train when you first start. So, you know, I sort of probably got pigeonholed as a jumping trainer, which I don't mind. You know, I love them. I rode over the jumps and it's always been a real passion of mine and something I started with. And, you know, that was sort of you sort of get the rap of, you know, being a filly trainer, you know, because we had a couple of Oaks winners and so I sort of made an effort to go, and I thought I'll hang my neck out in the line a bit and buy some expensive colts and put your name out as a full-rounded trainer of every aspect. So, yeah, it's something I focus a lot on and are quite proud of the team and what they're able to do.
And, Kieran, the idea of a stable being in form, so not just your individual horses, but the whole team, and I think that's most people in Melbourne would regard the stable as being in great form at the moment. Is that a real thing, that the better you go, the better you go?
Well, I think it definitely is. It's like anything, you know. Your system's working well, confidence, you know. Occasionally you get sort of little viral things and different things that go through the stable that might affect performance. But, I feel that, you know, with the expansion, probably in the last 2 years, you know, whilst it was a bit to take on, I feel now, you know, with a number of each and every different style of horse, you sort of mark them together and I feel, you know, we train better, and we probably have more resources with more turnover, and I sort of put it all back into planning and better ways of doing that, and also that sports science data side of it that I think it's very important, and will be, you know, you'll see a lot of changes in training in over the next sort of 5 to 10 years, I reckon.
In all of that, Kieran, the thrill of winning a big race and your post Cox Plate interview last year will never be forgotten. What is there still the pure, unadulterated thrill when you win one of these iconic races?
There is, you know, it's that. There's no way to explain that to someone. I suppose I'm a very competitive person by nature, but that actual thrill, you know, it's like a drug, I suppose. Just if you get it, you want it more, and you can see the passion on the owners, you know, the thrill they get. And when you think about it, there's not really a lot of other things that you get such a real buzz out of, and that's, I suppose, yeah, like even yesterday at the Geelong Cup, you know, I found myself bloody roaring, you know, and you look at yourself just after they cross the line, you think, oh God, that's a bit embarrassing. But I'm still, you know, as passionate as ever.
Never lose that, Kieran. Never lose that. It's great to catch up and to get that picture of what the modern business of horse racing is. Good luck for these big weeks as they unfold in front of us.
All right. Thanks very much.